Well, it's good to have you back with us, and it's great to be with you. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. What's reconciliation really look like? And what does it mean to really attain to it? And what needs to be kind of surrendered so that we can live in reconciliation? With me, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why, at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Get a copy. This is great. You may not agree with everything in this book, but George, that isn't the purpose, is it, to get everyone to agree?
No, I think the purpose really is to help folks engage their faith at a deeper level. True for any of us, including myself, that it's easy for me to skate over the surface. But what I've found is that the deeper I dive, the richer my experience of the faith is. In fact, my Old Testament professor one time said one of the most important things I'd ever heard. And he said, if you find something in the scripture that you don't agree with, or that it really bothers you, or you reject it, and you just don't like what's being said there, take that as a red flag that says there's something here you haven't understood yet. And instead of skipping past it and moving on, stop what you're doing and dive deeper right there.
That is profound. And that's great hermeneutics, by the way. Because if you wrestle with the text in one area and sort it out, it'll often then shed light on others.
Right.
Powerful stuff. All right, Dr. George. You say that if we're going to have real reconciliation, we need to get past this winning mode. How prevalent is a winning mindset in the church?
Boy, it's so prevalent. I don't even think we are sensitive to it anymore.
You think we're desensitized?
We've become immune, or desensitized is probably a better word. But I can't count any longer the number of times when I have either taught a class or preached a sermon and had someone come up afterwards in order to correct me rather bluntly because of the theological error that I had committed. And some of those then would never
Do you get this often?
Well, you know, it's probably why there isn't anybody in my church anymore. Just me on Sunday morning.
You crack me up. It's actually just a little note there. It's growing. And praise be to God for that. Okay, so we've got a need to win. What's interesting here is the Apostle Paul says run in such a way as to win the prize. And we know that we're called to win the spiritual race. The problem is we sometimes think we're competing with our brothers and sisters.
We do. Not only do I have to win in any debate that you and I might have or any discussion, there's got to be a winner and a loser, and I know which one I want to be.
Right.
And not only, though, do I want to win, I want you to lose. There's a real lovelessness, I think, that happens in our debates, and it brings me back to something you and I have talked about. And that's yeshiva.
Yeah.
Now, most Christians have never even heard that word, yeshiva. Yeshiva is a Jewish seminary. And what happens in yeshiva is the students are broken up into pairs, and then they study a passage of scripture and the commentary on the scripture, and they debate, one taking side A, the other taking side B. Sparks fly, and then the Rosh, the head rabbi, comes over and says, change sides. And you have to argue the case that your opponent just argued a minute ago. And when it's all done, you remain friends. They're called, the Hebrew word is havarim, friends. The idea is we should be able to wrestle about the things of God without having a winner and a loser, but instead have friends at the end. And in fact, they believe that if we do this energetically, we open up a crack for the Spirit of God to come in.
That's so
and
good.
Enlighten our minds and hearts.
I've often thought recently, I've had this daydream that it would be cool to host a panel discussion with like a Jack Hayford and a John MacArthur. And you ask Jack Hayford to debate for as biblically, solidly, with as much integrity and passion as he can, the cessationist position of spiritual gifts that they've ended, and ask John MacArthur to debate as ferociously as he can.
That's great.
For the continuous.
What a great idea.
It's not a bad idea, is it?
It's fun.
I really thought it would be good, because with integrity, all of us could come up with great points and counterpoints for sides of issues that we don't currently agree with.
Well, in fact, one of the things I've tried to do in this book, if you read the chapter in it on prayer, which is way back a while ago, one of the things that I talk about is how Catholics pray. Because most of the readers of this book are Protestants.
Right.
That's just the normative, most common audience. It's also read by rabbis and by Catholics, but mostly it's read by Protestants. And most Protestants do not understand why Catholics pray the way they do. And one of the things that I try there is to bring out what the motive is behind that prayer so that we don't see it just in caricature. And I think that that is a method which should recommend itself to all of our theological debates. I will bet a week's salary, which isn't very much.
Let's go with your bottom dollar.
That I could have a Calvinist argue a point about something and an Arminian argue on the same issue, and I would find value in what each of them said because they had done it with integrity.
I believe that.
Rather than just choosing a side because I had one that I wanted to win.
No, this is fascinating. We ought to set up one of these panel discussions where we take reverse argumentations, by the
way. That'd be great. It'd be a really neat forum to set up just, and I can think of all sorts of people to invite to that.
Oh, my goodness. How about egalitarians versus complementarians?
Yeah. Or Cardinal George on the truths of Luther's 95 Theses.
Oh, I love this. This is 180 right now. I'm Carl Clausen. With me, Dr. George Koch. In studio, we're having a ball talking about what we believe and why. If you haven't gotten a copy yet, get it. You can go to whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Also, listen to George here weekend Sundays at 1 p.m. on AM 1160. We're not done yet. George, we got a couple minutes here. I always want to bring this down to shoe leather. Bring it right down, rubber meet in the road. How do we apply what you are so passionate about and teach in this section of moving beyond winning? I mean, that sounds great, but man, it's harder to do.
It is. And the word that Jesus uses when he tells us to love God, love neighbor, love even enemy and pray for them, the Greek word is agape, it does not mean warm feelings. It means act for the blessing of that other person. Do something that will bless them. So if I'm actually going to love even my enemies, it means that I have to take an action that will bless them. Not just the people within my room or my church, the ones who already agree with me. I have to go outside of myself, outside of my church, outside of my home, talk to a neighbor, talk to somebody who goes to a very different kind of church, and share with them the different ways in which we love Jesus or how we understand God, and be open. That act of blessing is what Jesus calls us to do.
But George, what about the ones that are really screwed up and really messed up?
You mean like us?
Yeah.
Well, we hope there are some out there willing to come and talk to us.
If you love George and myself, even a scintilla of love, bring it on, right, George?
Yeah, please straighten us out because we're a mess.
Oh, this is fun stuff, everyone. Hang on. We'll be back next week with Dr. George Koch. Again, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. This is 180. I'm Carl Clausen. Your life, a new, reconciled, non-winning, bent direction.
Amen.